Tomorrow's Christmas. Oh, man. You know, that's right. As a kid, I always felt like Christmas took forever to arrive. But as an adult, it feels like Thanksgiving was last week. I wonder if I'm the only one in those shoes. Like, I'm thinking to myself, man, it's Christmas already? And that's a line I never would have said as a kid. And you probably wouldn't have either, because as a child, you are waiting. You are anticipating Christmas. And how many of us enjoy waiting? Didn't think so. I don't think anybody enjoys waiting, but there's a lot of waiting involved with Christmas. Waiting in traffic, waiting in checkout lines at the store. On Wednesday, some of you will be waiting in return lines at the same store as well. As a kid, you wait and you wait to be able to open presents on Christmas morning, unless, of course, you were in a family that opened presents on Christmas Eve. Any of you any of you part of families that opened some presents on Christmas Eve? Go ahead and raise your hands so I can pray for you. Okay, that's good. Pastor John told me that in his family they always got to open stockings on Christmas Eve, which is impossible because Santa hasn't even come yet. It doesn't even make sense. So how many of you had to develop character by waiting all the way till Christmas morning to open presents? You weren't allowed to peek. You weren't supposed to look at the tags, even though my sister always did. How many of you really had trials in your life and had to wait until after breakfast on Christmas morning? And oh man, I mean, high character development there all the way until after breakfast. In my family, there was a lot of waiting involved in the actual opening of presents, because my family subscribed to the one present at a time philosophy of opening presents. Right? There's two philosophies to opening presents. One is an every man for himself approach. I don't know if any of you had families like that. Everyone gets after it at once. Paper boxes and bows are flying everywhere, and you're done in 5 minutes or less. Just knock it right out. Not in my family. No. One at a time. Okay, and now Grandma is going to open a present from Mom and Dad. So let's all watch, right? And so Grandma gets the present. She's like, oh, it's just so beautiful. I don't even want to open it. And as a kid, you're already dying, right? You just know this is going to take forever, right? And then she's like, you know, I think I want to save this wrapping paper. No. And you just want to grab it out of her hands and rip it open like a present's supposed to be opened. And then she finally gets it open and she sees the new sweater that your parents bought her. And she's like, oh, wow, how gorgeous is this? Should I try it on right now? And no, Grandma, this is not the way it's supposed. This is not supposed to work this way. There's a lot of waiting involved in Christmas. And if you read through the Bible, you will see that God's people had been waiting for Christmas as well. They were waiting for their Messiah. And the difference is that our waiting for Christmas, we have the advantage of knowing that Christmas will come and knowing when it will come. We know when Christmas will arrive. We can see December 25th on the calendar. God's people were waiting for Christmas, not knowing when it would come. So much of mankind's existence has been spent waiting and hoping, waiting for things to be made right, hoping that ultimate deliverance would come. And we are introduced to one of those men later in the story of Christmas in Luke 2:25, where Luke tells us this. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Waiting for consolation. waiting to be consoled, like some of my children need to be as well. That's my fault right there. I'm sorry about that. Waiting to be consoled. Perfect timing when talking about comfort, right? Waiting for comfort to come. And that waiting that Simeon was experiencing had begun all the way back at the beginning of Genesis. Because there was a brief moment in history where mankind lived in comfort in the Garden of Eden. There was no pain, there was no heartache, there was no disappointment, there was no guilt, there was no shame, because there was no sin. Man lived in a harmony with his Creator God, and then Genesis 3 happened, and it ruined everything. The serpent tempted Eve, and Adam and Eve, who were created for God's glory like us, decided to seek after their own. They wanted to become like God. They believed the lies of the serpent rather than the truth of God. And so sin entered the world, and instantly the need for comfort was created. Every human being has had to deal with the pain sin creates. Everyone, whether they realize it or not, has felt the ache that being at odds with the holy God of the universe causes. But even in giving the consequences for Adam and Eve's sin in the garden, we see a little bit of hope in Genesis 3 as well. Because God said to the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." And ever since that day, man has been waiting and hoping for the offspring of a woman to come and crush Satan's head, to conquer sin for us. In the meantime, a sacrificial system was implemented to temporarily atone for the sins of God's people. Day after day, the priest would stand in the temple making sacrifice after sacrifice for sin. The author of Hebrews describes it this way, "And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins." Throughout the Old Testament, we see inadequate, temporary deliverance. We see that there's nothing that is good enough. We see that people had to keep waiting and keep hoping for Christmas to arrive. We see that the Israelites were in slavery and God sent Moses to deliver them, but then he couldn't even deliver them out of the wilderness. And God used Joshua to bring them into the promised land and win conquests and battles, but the generation after him quickly turned to doing what was right in their own eyes, and the waiting and the longing and the hoping continued. In rebellion against God's leadership, the nation of Israel decided that they wanted a king like other nations, but the problem with human kings is that they're human. Many did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and Israel ended up in captivity once again. And they waited, and they hoped for the ultimate king to arrive. Then you have prophets that come on the scene, and in the midst of declaring judgment on Israel for their disobedience, you find glimmers of hope, like Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel." Isaiah 9:6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And the waiting continued. Hundreds of years go by and still nothing. Is it ever going to happen? Will Christmas ever come? Will the comfort that people have been longing for ever arrive? And he's saying, "Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee." Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art. dear desire of every nation, hope of every longing heart. And then finally, out of the silence, angels show up to a very scared Mary and Joseph to put God's unbelievable rescue mission into motion. A virgin conceives through the Holy Spirit. A trip to Bethlehem is taken, and God Himself in the form of an infant is born. The wait is finally over because Jesus is here. Hope has a face, and everything is about to change. And to show that hope is not limited to the elite or the wealthy or the educated, the news of hope goes first to lowly shepherds. The most insignificant of the inconsequential, ceremonially unclean herdsmen are told this by the angel. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Because this hope is for everyone. No matter your social class, no matter your education, no matter your ethnicity, no matter the regrets of your past, no matter your failures, you can have hope because the Savior of the world has been born. And that brings us back to Simeon, who had been waiting and hoping. There's a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. My grandfather was a lifelong Cubs fan, Chicago Cubs fan. That's baseball, for those of you that aren't sports people. And being a lifelong Cub fan meant that my grandpa was waiting for a long time to experience any measure of enjoyment from his baseball team. And once my grandfather got into his 80s, whenever we would drive home from a game, at some point my grandfather would inevitably say, "Well, maybe the Cubs will win a World Series before I die." And in my head, I would think, they better hurry. They really need to go fast, Grandpa. And I wonder if there were days when Simeon felt the same way. Because he had received a promise from God that he would see the Christ before he died. And I imagine the older he got, the more he thought, well, it can't be much longer because I don't think I'm going to last much longer. And Luke tells us about the day that long wait was finally over. And we get to see Simeon's response to Christmas after a lifetime of waiting. This is what happens. And he came in the Spirit to the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do to him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." This elderly man had patiently waited his entire life for Christmas to arrive. And now, just imagine the scene as he is holding God in his arms. And his response has led me to think about this question today. My question is this: what do you see when you see Jesus? What do you see when you look at Jesus? Some people see a fictional character like Santa Claus or the Tooth Fairy. Some people see a good teacher. Some people see a prophet. Some people see a man whose followers blew his accomplishments out of proportion. But when Simeon looked into the eyes of baby Jesus, he saw his salvation and the hope of the world. The wait was over because hope arrived at that first Christmas. And the reason that the story of Christmas brings us hope is because we know, like Simeon, that the birth of Jesus is not the end of the story. This baby boy would one day walk on water. This baby boy would save our sons and daughters. This baby boy came to make us new. The child that Mary delivered came to deliver us from our hopeless, sinful condition. We have hope because Jesus came near to us when we were far from God. We have hope because He would go on to live the perfect life that we failed to live. We have hope because He died the death that we deserve to die. He took the just punishment for all of our sin on the cross. We have hope because Jesus rose from the dead, conquering both sin and the grave, crushing the head of Satan as God had promised in Genesis. This is why Jesus is a light for revelation to the Gentiles, because He made it possible for all people to see salvation. No matter what you've done, no matter the regrets of your past, no matter your guilt and shame, if you place your faith in the perfect life, sacrificial death, and victorious resurrection of Jesus, all of your sins are forgiven. In the midst of the turmoil of life, you can have peace with the holy God of the universe. And so if you have been longing for consolation like Simeon, if you've been longing for comfort, then you have been longing for Jesus. If you've been waiting for the ache in your soul to be soothed, then you have been waiting for Jesus. He is your only hope for eternal comfort. And your response to the arrival of Jesus at Christmas will always be connected to your assessment of your need for Him. And when I look at Jesus, I see the only one who can meet my greatest need and satisfy my greatest desires. So let me ask you this evening, what is your response to Christmas? What is your response to Christmas? In just a few moments, we're going to sing Silent Night, Holy Night. All is calm. All is bright. And the reality is that all probably isn't calm in your family. And all might not be calm in your job. And all might not be calm at the doctor's appointment. But all can be calm in your soul, because Jesus offers us heavenly peace with God. Have you experienced the peace and joy and hope that comes from knowing Jesus? Have your eyes seen the salvation that comes through Christ alone? If you've never placed your faith in Jesus, I pray that this Christmas Eve you will receive the greatest gift in all the world, that you would receive Jesus as your Savior. And this Christmas, I pray that we will worship our Savior because the wait is over. Hope has arrived. I hope that hope has arrived in your life as well. Let me pray for us. God, we're so thankful that the wait is over. We're so thankful that we have hope because Jesus came. He took on the form of a baby in order to live a life that we couldn't live and rescue us from our sin. So I pray that all would be calm in our souls because of what you have done. I pray that if there's anyone here that has never accepted the free gift of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, that today would be the day that they receive the greatest gift in all the world. Thank you for the hope that we have, no matter our circumstances, because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And so I pray that our lives would shine as lights to the rest of this world. as we reflect the light of Jesus. And I pray this in his name. Amen.